Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the former chair of the New York Film Critics Circle and National Society of Film Critics, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. The films are One Battle After Another, Strange Harvest, and A.K.A. Charlie Sheen.
I'd like to start today by talking about One Battle After Another, which is the movie that currently it seems that everybody is talking about. I find myself in an interesting position here. One Battle After Another is a movie that many people are hailing as a truly great film, perhaps a masterpiece, certainly the movie of the year or something like that. I really don't like it. Now, this has happened before. Every once in a while, I find myself swimming against the tide. But this is definitely one of those cases. I was very unhappy while I watched One Battle After Another. I was really disappointed in it. And I am unrepentant about that. I got to stick to my guns here. But I also have to acknowledge that I seem to be in a real minority on this. So we'll see if there are any people out there who agree with me. This movie is based on a novel. It's actually, I think that the end credits of the movie say it was inspired by the novel Vineland by Thomas Pynchon. I've read all of Pynchon's novels, including that one I read many years ago. He has a new one coming out this month. But it's not a novel that impressed me very much when I read it. I think it's one of the minor Pynchon novels. But hey, that's fine. Many a minor novel has inspired a great film. And what we have in One Battle After Another, which is a very different kind of title from Vineland, and it certainly suggests a much more action-packed kind of movie, and this is definitely an action-packed movie. We have here a movie that kind of blends an extremely 1960s vibe, which is to say there's a whole lot of politics going on, that revolutionary politics, people blowing things up and breaking their accomplices out of prison and stuff like that. Very 60s style stuff, not only 60s, but it certainly has that vibe, and the way it's done sort of brings across that kind of connection with today's politics, because there's a whole lot of stuff about the horrible treatment of immigrants and the detainment of immigrants and horrifying detention centers and that sort of thing. So the movie begins when we have a woman whose name is, and they're not Pynchon names, but they're Pynchon type names, funny names. A woman named Perfidia Beverly Hills and another person named Ghetto Pat Calhoun are members of an extreme revolutionary group known as the French 75. And at the beginning of the film, they're breaking out some imprisoned immigrants from a California detention center of some sort. And Perfidia actually managed to get to the commanding officer of the detention center, a guy named Stephen J. Lockjaw, another very Pynchon type name, even though it's not a name that Pynchon came up with. She manages to sort of seduce him, sort of a forceful seduction. You might call it a sort of a rape, but by a woman against a man, as he puts it later in the film, he feels he's been raped in reverse. And then various things happen. A bomb gets planted and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So Perfidia has a little girl who the father is Stephen J. Lockjaw. And the little girl's name is Charlene. And later on in the movie, Charlene is grown up and she becomes a major character in the film. And there's a whole lot of racing around to find Charlene, et cetera, et cetera. I can only begin to give this tiny little idea of what the plot of the movie is about, because it's really complicated and it's really, I found, kind of scrambled, and because it's constantly being interrupted by action, action, action. As the title suggests, this is a real action movie. Okay, if that's what you want, then that's certainly what you're going to get. So The cast of One Battle After Another is pretty distinguished. We have Leonardo DiCaprio. I have always found him, except for his very early career, stronger on star power than on real acting chops. But, you know, he gets the job done. Sean Penn is a wonderful actor. I'm afraid in this movie, he mostly gives a kind of a caricature of a performance. Benicio del Toro is always a wonderful actor, and he's very good here. We also have Regina Hall and Teyana Taylor and Chase Infinity. And okay, good cast, exciting cast, very racially diverse cast. All that is just fine. So why did I dislike One Battle After Another? Because of all that action. It is a movie by Paul Thomas Anderson who can do many things besides action. And here I just found this movie to be one car chase after another, one gun battle after another. Way, way too much of that stuff. You have all the resources of modern cinema going for you. You have this great political set of themes going for you. And what do? You have a whole lot of car chases and a whole lot of people shooting old-fashioned bullets at each other. I just did not much like One Battle After Another. Now, do I think that eventually the world will catch up with me? That someday people will be saying, ah, yes, Sterrett was right about that. That guy on Robin Hood Radio had this when everybody else had it wrong. No, I don't think that. A couple of years ago, I really hated and still hate Everything Everywhere All at Once. And of course, it won the Academy Award for Best Picture of the Year and various other honors. So yeah, I'm sure I'm fighting a very losing battle here. But for me, One Battle After Another was one car chase after another. If that's what you wanted, God bless you. Go see this movie. You'll have a good time. I had a terrible time. Now I want to move on to another movie that I don't think is much good either, but it's a little bit less pretentious and overblown than One Battle After Another. And it's a film called Strange Harvest. And it's streaming and anybody can see it who wants to. And it was written, directed by Stuart Ortiz. And it is It's sort of a mockumentary, by which I mean it's not a comedy. It's not making fun of documentaries, but it is very much a bogus documentary, an ersatz documentary, which is to say every single thing in it is invented. Yep. But it's supposed to look like a documentary, sort of a talking heads documentary with lots of kinds of forensic evidence placed into it. So what is Strange Harvest about? We have a horrifying serial killer known as Mr. Shiny, who is killing people in horrible, horrible ways, doing all kinds of terrible things to people. He doesn't just kill them. He displays the corpses in exotic and strange ways. And he communicates. He sends letters. He does things like this. So all of this is based on real life serial killer cases that we might be familiar with. He's like the Zodiac Killer, and that there's a big mystery. He has this secret symbol, which is one of the big clues that he always leaves as his signature when he commits one of these horrible crimes, whether it's a killing of one person or a killing of many people. And he's just resembles various real-life serial killers in various ways. And so what we have here are a couple of detectives who come back again and again in the movie, giving their talking head interviews and talking about the case and how eventually the case was solved or not solved. I'm not going to give that away. But that's what we have. And along the way, we see photos of the occasional video footage, but mainly we have photos of the various crime scenes and the horrifying things. For example, and I'm not going to describe this in any horrifying detail here, but at one point, whole family was killed, and then they were posed around the table in their dining room with their eyes looking at his symbol painted on the ceiling and buckets to hold their blood beneath them, and they were killed in a horrible way. That sort of thing. So the movie is basically a parade of that sort of thing. Most of it shown through still photos. We have other kinds of things along the way too. There's some security camera footage and stuff like that. But mostly we have these still photos, and we have various different locations where the killings took place. And we have various different people talking about the killings and kind of describing the killings. And then these are two detectives who keep coming back again and again over the course of the movie, telling eventually how they were able to get at least somewhat to the bottom of the case. And eventually there turned out perhaps a supernatural element to this. So maybe the whole thing is really involved with some sort of greater thing in the universe that we're not aware of. And what did people really see when this was happening? And what was going on in the sky when this was happening? Stuff like that. I didn't think the whole thing held together very well. And I will say that even though some of the reviews of Strange Harvest have said, well, it's a convincing fake documentary, it looks like a real documentary, I didn't really think it did. I mean, the two main detectives, there's a man played by Peter Zizzo and a woman played by Terry Apple. They don't sound to me like they're really thinking and remembering things. They sound to me like they're saying lines into the camera, which they basically are, of course. But I didn't find them awfully convincing, I'm afraid. The movie as a whole, it's mildly interesting if you are interested in the true crime genre. It does give you a kind of a take on that. Now, my wife happens to specialize in true crime. She's written a number of true crime books. She really knows about this stuff. She saw Strange Harvest with me, and she was not very impressed by it. But like me, she sort of said, well, it was sort of fun to watch what they kind of did with the true crime genre here. And I will grant that that is the case. And it's sort of fun to see the parade of typical true crime documentary types parade through this movie. You have the professor, you have the other cops, you have the eyewitnesses who have been traumatized and stuff like that. So yeah, it's a mildly entertaining movie in a horrible, grisly sort of a way. It's okay to watch. Again, you have to be ready for some really horrifying images and some of those still photos, but at least for the most part, they are still photos. And that takes a little bit of the sting out of them. And that's probably a good thing. So, Strange Harvest, minor movie, forgettable movie, but not bad of its type. And that's about as much as I can say in its favor. Finally, I would like to talk now, how refreshing, about a real documentary and about a very different kind of a subject, aka Charlie Sheen. And you guessed it, it's about Charlie Sheen, the actor. And it's about the terrible trouble that he has gotten into at various points in his life. He kind of said that he could divide his life and his career into three different buckets. The first part he calls partying, the second part he calls partying with problems, and the third part is just problems. Okay, so there's the trajectory of the movie. I will say that it seems like Charlie Sheen has eventually gotten his act together, and he's very much a presence in this movie, and he is very calm and under control, and tells us a lot of very personal things. I really have to applaud his willingness to reveal some pretty awful personal behaviors in this movie. So yeah, that third part, just problems, he appears to be beyond that, and he appears to have his life under pretty good control and all that. But along the way, he really, really, really got into a whole lot of real problems. We see and we hear about, we don't really see, we hear about all of that over the course of the movie. So what are these problems that Charlie Sheen faced? Well, of course, he came from a distinguished family. His father is the very fine actor Martin Sheen, who, by the way, would not participate in the movie, although we do see some archival footage of him. Charlie Sheen is also the brother of Emilio Estevez. That is the family name, which Martin Sheen did not use and Charlie Sheen did not use, but it is the family name. And so Charlie Sheen's brother, Emilio Estevez, he also would not participate in the film. But we do have various other very interested parties. Another brother of Charlie Sheen, Ramon Estevez, is there. Also, various sons and daughters and second wives and third wives and that sort of thing. So they're there to talk about. And we also have a very large amount of Charlie Sheen sitting in what appears to be a very bogusly created diner with the ketchup and mustard bottles on the table to make it look authentic. And he has been sober now for quite a number of years, about 7 years, clean and sober. And he talks about all the stuff that happened when he wasn't clean and sober. Now, the movie, and this has been said, and I think it's probably true, kind of takes it easy on him. We do hear about little things about accusations of domestic violence, about people who had to get restraining orders against him, about the terrible things he did with his family and all of that. Okay. And we do hear about all that, but we don't hear much about all that. So the movie seems to be revealing the facts and the uncomfortable facts, and Charlie Sheen is there to talk about it all, but we don't really get a whole lot of detail about this stuff. And if we had gotten that, this would probably be a much more harrowing movie and a much more negative movie about Charlie Sheen. So, okay, the filmmaker, Andrew Renzi, is, you know, taking it easy on him, and I suppose that's understandable. Maybe that was a way of getting Charlie Sheen to participate in the movie, and he certainly does admit a whole lot of things. He admits his drug use. He admits his crack cocaine use. He admits his alcoholism. He admits his total out of controlism at various points in his life. And there are other people who appear in the movie who are pretty interesting. The famous Hollywood madam, Heidi Fleiss, and he testified in court during her very famous trial some years ago. He was the only one who did it, and she is still absolutely furious about him. So it's interesting to hear her in the movie. Also, there's John Cryer, the actor, who is Charlie Sheen's co-star in a very popular sitcom, Two and a Half Men, and he talks about how outrageous it was that Charlie Sheen just put them through awful, awful things, was unreliable, undependable. They could never tell whether they were going to get an episode shot and that sort of thing. That's kind of interesting. But mainly my big impression coming away from, we hear a lot of Charlie Sheen, delighted that he's under control now, willing to reveal, and does reveal with a good nature, all these horrible secrets in his life, but you only come away feeling you learned something about Charlie Sheen, not everything about Charlie Sheen. So yeah, it's an interesting movie. Maybe someday there will be a sequel that will get more deeply into the real facts. So that is my somewhat documentary, somewhat not documentary story this week.
For which we thank you as ever and always, David Sterrett, Films in Focus. The films One Battle After Another, Strange Harvest, and AKA Charlie Sheen.
Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.